Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Old Bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam, and that is Ben Mandelker over there on the other end of this here line. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, you know, living the life. I literally just got a notification from my Ring phone saying that someone's boots have been stolen. So that's what today's all about, stolen boots.
Yeah, there was a package robbery in my neighborhood, and it was like some sweet-looking little old lady stealing packages off people's stoops. Come on, have some respect.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you where that wouldn't happen. A good place like Salt Lake City.
Surely not. You'd be excommunicated for the rest of your life and have to buy an Adam Lambert wig and just live your life out in shame. Package stealing shame.
That's right. That's right. That would not be allowed.
So today is Salt Lake City Day, and we are lucky because it's also Thanksgiving week. And we get to have this Friday off because Bravo put Real Housewives of Salt Lake City on demand a little bit early. So it was a gift from the Bravo gods. So thank you, turkeys.
I know. Thank you, Bravo, for letting us have a day off. Thank you.
Yes, we're actually recording this on a Monday. Something else we recorded today was a really fun interview with Marge and Lexi from Real Housewives of New Jersey on their fabulous show. So go check out their podcast,
Caviar Dreams and Tuna Fish Budget.
Thank you. Didn't want to mess it up. Some caviar tuna fish budgeting for Caviar Dreams on a Tuna Fish Budget. So go listen to that. That's a really long, fun talk. Love those girls. So thanks for having us on there. Go support them. Support other women. Okay.
Yeah.
And today we are on to Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Let's just do it, shall we, Ben?
Yeah, it opens up with, you know, we're really into this, the musical cues on this show. A lot of like fake choir sounds in the background. This week's fake choir sounded like the children's chorus from Mad Max, you know, like,
yes,
we don't need another hero. It was like that. But instead, they were all going,
like mixing with rock. Love it.
Yeah. So exciting. And then we wind up with Lisa in her car with her family. And I was listening to Lisa's voice because last week you were like, notice that Lisa throws an A into a lot of things. And I was like, really? And then she's like, John, I need a Diet Coke so badly.
She does. She sounds like the first act of My Fair Lady when Eliza Doolittle's still Cockney in Selling Flowers on the Street. You know, she's not refined yet. That's kind of, she's got, it's like Valley Girl, but also kind of Cockney. It's really weird.
Yeah. It's like a little, it's got some Long Island, but it also has some like strange emphasis on her syllables. So she's like, Henry, for real. Like, for real, you have to work on your Ten Commandments, okay? Okay, Henry, just give me two. Give me two commandments.
Yeah, and her personality, she's one of those people who's like, you know what my personality is? Diet Coke. I love Diet Coke. Like, I can have, like, 50 Diet Cokes a day, and that's my personality, all right? I love Diet Coke. I need a Diet Coke, like, for real.
Yeah. By the way, my friend Neil is obsessed with Diet Coke, and he's listening. And I know that right now he's feeling some sort of way. So, Neil.
Sorry, Neil.
We love you. Everyone should listen to Neil's podcast.
Well, Neil has other things about his personality. He's loaded. He's hot. He has a really good podcast. So, you know, you have other things besides just Diet Coke. It's just,
that's,
you know,
true.
Those people who are like, you know what kind of person I am? The kind of person who loves iced tea. I love iced tea. Hey, can I get an iced tea? Because that's me. I'm here. I love iced tea. You know, it's those people who build an entire personality on liking a beverage. Okay, Lisa, we get it. You're a Diet Coke person.
So, Henry, actually, you know what's funny is that Neil is an expert about Mormonism. So
there you go.
So it's perfect. We'll have him on maybe sometime.
Well, it's like being a fucking heroin addict, you know, in the Mormon world, drinking all that caffeine.
Well, he's not a Mormon himself. He just studies them. He's a historian.
Porn. Like we've Mormon said porn. Millions of times, we know about Mormonism on the show because of Mormon porn. Okay.
Mormon porn.
It's a thing.
So Henry, the little kid, is trying to recite the commandments, and he's like, thou shalt not smoke, thou shalt not do anything bad. And she's like, well, what's bad? Looking at porn. I was like, damn.
She's like, yeah, definitely stay away.
I didn't even know what porn was until I was, I don't know.
Dude, could you imagine 26, the things kids 41? See right now, like with iPads and cell phones in their hand at 2 years old? My God. Like, they know, you know, you don't even have to have the talk anymore. You need a VPN now. That's what you need.
Yeah, exactly. So then we go over to Meredith and Brooks, and they're doing some sort of treatment with their body, and like getting like burning fat cells and killing fat cells and stuff. And Brooks is her son, by the way. He's like, "This is the most exercise I've done for the past 5 months." And Meredith goes, "That's wonderful, Brooks."
And then we go over to Whitney and her friend who are at Marie's quote-unquote antiques and quote-unquote oddities and quote-unquote, "I'm looking to have an quote-unquote event here, quote-unquote, get it, wink, wink."
And he's like, an event? The guy looks like someone who like wrote a penny farthing to work. He's like, an event at an antique store? He's like very Sam Elliott-y. Like he's like... His Sam Elliott is like his fashion icon, right?
Yeah, he's very like, "Whoa, I would talk with my mouth more open, but it's only built for a copper pipe to go in there for me to smoke things out of." It's like, okay, steampunk oldie.
So Whitney's like, "Yes, at an antique store." And then he goes, "Well, what kind of event were you talking about?" And she's like, "Something a little wet, not so dry, please."
And but like, you, well, know, you know that during Prohibition, it is a dry country, quote unquote, dry country, right? Quote unquote. She's like, "Yeah." And he's like, "So let's go inside." And he opens a secret bookshelf and it's been a bar this whole time.
And Whitney is going to be having a party for 30 people there for some reason. I don't know what. And she loves a good theme. So this theme is strippers, but from the 20s.
Meaty back-zitted strippers from the 90s going back to the 20s and kind of the 70s.
Yeah. If you ever want to see a honey-baked ham on a pole, that's what this party is all about.
Snowing. Heather is at her house. Snowing! That's my note. That's my big note for the next scene. Snowing! We are at Heather's house, and she has bought not one, not two, but 5 tiny Range Rovers, because you can't just have one baby shower. It's Utah. Of course, yeah. You have 5 fucking people pregnant at the exact same time in your office, Heather. Of course you do.
Yes. So Heather is there with not Dr. Dre, her business partner, just Dre, and Brady, who's also Dre's husband. And Dre sees, I guess, all these like little Range Rovers, and she goes, "Aren't they so Beauty Lab? So Beauty Lab, SBL, so Beauty Lab."
So Beauty Lab. And Heather's like, "You know, I don't know if it's something in the water at Beauty Lab, but they're all pregnant at the same time. 5 employees. And guess what? They're all having boys." Because they live in a place where I guess that matters.
Yeah, I know.
It's like still a huge thing. I would be so depressed.
It's Mad Max. Very Mad Max Fury Road this time.
Who else will carry on the Beauty Lab employee's name?
So I like the idea that Heather might be like the bad guy in Fury Road. Like she just has her employees like just there to be mothers.
Yeah, she just has them stand there until she's ready to, like, pour water out of a bucket to their throats or whatever.
So then we see a close-up on some golden shoes with red laces getting out of a car. And the person who always gets that treatment is none other than Jen, because that's how she starts every scene, is a close-up on her feet.
I love that the producers are like, "Guess what? Jen is always wearing fucking crazy shoes, okay? I want a camera down by every car door opening." We're getting Jen's shoes are stars.
Yeah, exactly. And Jen, of course, it's like, you know, 5 feet of slush, and she's in these strappy shoes. And so she has her aunt, Lua, helping her, because she's always got to have someone helping her. I mean, at some point, someone's got to stand up to her and be like, "You know what? You chose the shoes. You walk through the slush. I'm not doing this."
Let's see. So she comes in. I just wrote, "She's insane." That's all I really wrote. Yeah. So she's like, "Walk me through this. Walk me through it, Heather." And Heather's like, "Well, everybody's going to bring a baby picture, because we have to guess, like, who the person is in the picture, okay? And everyone has to wear white at this baby shower because it's symbolic, okay? I want these young moms, I don't want them focusing on perfection. It's about love. I'm like, white is about perfection. What are you talking about?
You make one mistake. You make one mistake and it's stained. Or you eat one wrong thing and it's showing off all your bad curves. Okay?
White is literally the color of perfection.
Yeah. So then Heather's like, well, a Mormon prophet said that there's no work a woman can do outside the home that will be equal to what a mother does inside the home raising her children. And we're successful based on how well we raise our children, how well we love our husband, and how often we cry ourselves to sleep.
Yeah, I'm sure a Mormon prophet did say that, but, you know, I'd like to introduce him to, you know, whoever is trying to cure cancer right now outside their home, not stuck there with the damn kids, okay?
Yeah, a lot of people say a lot of things.
Outside the home can be so important that she can get a nanny to do the shit inside the home too, Heather.
yeah, exactly. So, but she's basically trying to describe that, like, this is the social code that they adhere to and what they're judged on. Sort of set up a scene later in the episode for her. So then her friend Angie comes over and she's like, don't you think that's just like the perfect size? I don't know what she was talking about, but she thought something was the perfect size. And
I'll tell you this much. Angie is definitely a very good friend because she gets a lot of discounts at the beauty lab. This woman's face. I'm like, what are they going to play on your face for the baby shower? Jesus Christ, woman. You look like something that pops out when you crash a car, okay? Calm down. You're a very pretty lady. Calm down with the fills. So Heather's like, well, let me show you baby pics. None of my babies have eyebrows. Georgia was turning 6 and wanted a rock star bunny party. And Jen's like, why is this beautiful picture not framed? And she's like, because our life was shut down, Jen. Our life was shut down. My husband left me. Aaron, from Aaron's framing, won't call me back. The whole world shifted. No more frames.
You know that commercial, he went to Jared? He went to Jared and Jared said goodbye. Okay, my world has shifted.
I've not been welcome into a framing store since my husband left me.
I literally stand near someone committing a crime just so I can get framed, and they still won't do that to me.
I pretended I was going blind just so I could look at frames, and they said, get out of this lens crafters, ma'am.
I intentionally jump in front of cameras so I can say, look, I'm in the frame, I'm in the frame. And they will not take the picture. But that may be for a variety of different reasons.
I told Roger Rabbit, I know who framed you. He won't even call me back. My life has been gutted.
I literally have to refer to that movie by Mormon code as who did something to Roger Rabbit. I'm not even allowed to say the word, the F word.
Jen's like, so when you got divorced, why did you feel like you were worthless? Because other people made you feel bad? And she's like, all I was born to do is have a family, and it was taken away from me. I didn't choose him because he was the love of my life. I chose him because he was Mormon. He was Mormon.
He was a Mormon boss. By the way, Jen's asking these questions as if she wasn't Mormon her whole life until she met her husband. Like, she knows. She knows.
Yeah, she's just moving along the story. And Heather tells us, I really resented him for leaving me because my whole life, I curtailed my natural instincts for him. And now he's saying he's giving up on me?
Yeah, she's like, she wants to achieve her family and marriage and children. And she'd given up a lot. And this is her first divorce in 4 generations of her family. Not a single pioneer got divorced. And at this point, I was expecting her to start singing Landslide. It's like, I've been trying to change this because I built my life around you.
And Jen's like, listen, that's just a label. Marriage, it means nothing. And she's like, it means everything. My heart is Mormon. And Jen's like, well, so what are you supposed to do? Just stay married even when you're not happy? And she goes, 100,000,000%.
100,000,000%. If you do an EKG on me, you know what you'd find? A covered wagon. That's what my heart does. It makes covered wagons on EKGs. Okay, 100,000,000% you stay together.
Have you ever looked at 2 covered wagons and said, wow, if those were both tilting, they'd make a heart? That's what I do. My heart is broken.
And would you ever take the cover off of a wagon? Then you just have a wagon. Enjoy getting rained on. You would never do that. 100 million% you keep it together.
So producer's like, so have you ever been in love? And she's like, oh, I don't know. Like maybe when I was 15 and he didn't even love me back. So otherwise, no, not really. And she's telling us that she has three daughters and she doesn't want to put that same pressure on her. And Jen's like, that's why you need to set example. If you stayed, then you would teach them to just stay married.
Exactly.
She's like, thank you, Jen. You're finally speaking some sense. She's like, no, I don't mean it like that. They'll be robots. Mormon robots. Thank God.
And Jen's like, listen, you're taking these steps so your daughters don't have to later down the line. I'm like, wow, we're really sticking with this pioneer thing. Now Heather is like the pioneer of divorce.
Yeah, exactly. So now we go over to Meredith's house, and she's wearing some sort of like white blazer with like weird pink panels on it and like a tie. And she goes, time for cocktails. And then she turns on her blender, but it has no top. So, of course, everything goes exploding out of it. I'm like, lady, what are you doing? Why do you not have a top on your blender? But, of course, I don't have to say it because we have her gay son, Brooks, who comes in and goes, are you a moron?
He's like, I don't want to deal with that. Where's Leticia?
Yeah. So
this kid's like, a fucking monster, by the
awful.
Way.
He's
is.
Awful.
He's terrible. Beat
I
him.
Thought
Beat your
in the
son.
Beginning, in the beginning, I thought he was like dry and droll and gay and like, but just like funny. And it was like, yes, have a gay son on here who's just like, fuck all these adults. But now I'm like, oh no, he's just terrible.
So she's like, well, when Seth is gone, I love having the kids home because it's like I feel like part of my family's here. I'm like, you know why you feel like that? Because part of your family's there, Meredith.
Okay? Yeah. Also, because your son talks to you the way your husband talks to you, which is disrespectfully. So maybe that's why you enjoy it. I don't know.
But yeah, but I get a like, real sense of darkness with the son and the mom in this and the husband and the mom. I just feel very bad. Suddenly, I feel very bad for Meredith because I was like, oh, Meredith is just taking time to warm up. And now I'm like, no, Meredith is afraid to fucking talk. Okay?
Yeah. So Brooks is like, do we have a mop? And I'm not talking about you, mother. Although if you want to interpret it that way, I'm totally down for it because that's so tragic.
And her daughter's there too. And she's like, classic mom. And Meredith is like, well, my daughter Chloe is like, it's like her first year away because she's 18. And I just feel so fortunate that she wants to spend time with me because there's no one I'd rather spend time with than Brooks.
Yeah. So then Jen comes over. And she's like, oh my goodness, my children. Oh my God, Brooks, I'm giving you a big hug. My sweet little babies. And Chloe. Oh. And so it's actually like really sweet. She's like, clearly Jen is like the family friend. And she's been over a million times. And she loves these kids. So she's like, I want a margarita. And Meredith is like, well, I made them in the blender, but I didn't put the lid on. That's because you're a moron, mother, a moron.
Yeah, those are called idiot Meredith Ritas.
Idiot Meredith. So
Mom's
Jen...
an idiot Ritas, all right? Enjoy.
So then Jen gives us some of her sadness. She's like, you know what, at the Shaw Ski Chalet, you know, it's like our chalet is a really big deal, but it's like not fun to be there by yourself, you know, because it's a big empty place and you're there alone and you're thinking to yourself, where's my husband? He's not here. Why does he love basketball more than me? And my children are gone and I just have my empty house. So I come over here instead.
Yeah. And Brooks is like, are you excited for the 20s party? And she's like, oh my God, my outfit. I'm going to be like an old Hollywood madam. I don't want to be a basic bitch 20s flapper like some of the girls are going to be. So here's the thing. Sharif has like some coaches with everything. So we're going to do a sleepover party Saturday, okay? Facials, high kicks. I'm going to do high kicks. And Chloe, the daughter's like, shoes? She goes, no. I mean, a high kick, like with your legs. I would do one, but you'd see my vagina. Kicks like this. Kick. And she like faces the back of the couch. Yeah.
She turns away so that way the kids don't see it, you know? And she's like kicking. And then she starts going, grinder. Which makes me wonder what part of the conversation was cut out.
And so Brooks is like staring and he's like, I'm feeling really uncomfortable. Her vagina is in my face.
Okay, settle down, Rachel Maddow. Okay, you are fine. Okay? Like, it's... He's like, ugh.
Settle down, Rachel Maddow.
He sort of looks like Rachel Maddow. Or Ellie Krieger from the Food Network. Ellie Krieger. You know? So... Two beautiful women, by the way.
It just took me a minute. Now I'm not ever going to not see that. Thanks a lot, jerk.
So then Ellie Krieger is like, I'm beyond shocked that my mom is around someone that doing that in front of her children. Mm-hmm. Like, actually, you're 21, so now you're an adult. Also, like, it's like, it's fine.
Also, you're like, talking about a fucking adult in your mother's house. Shut the fuck up, okay? This isn't even your house anymore. Go back to school.
Exactly. I mean, like, I get it because I don't want anyone, like, I don't want to see vagina or penis or butt. I don't necessarily, if someone's like doing that, like, in my face, I'm not sure if I necessarily want to see it. But there was like an element of shaming about it the way he was saying it, where I'm like, I'm picking up on some shaming, and we do not shame vaginas.
Well, she wasn't even showing him her vagina. He's being ridiculous. So yeah. Meredith is like, my children are going to go to Best Buy now.
That's what a shame should be.
Yeah. Jen goes, even though you birthed these children out of your vagina, they're my children. And Brooks goes, gross. We're leaving.
Gross. We have to go to Best Buy. There's a yellow tag event. So Jen has no idea that she's royally pissed off Brooks, and he's disgusted, and he's gonna start a campaign against her. So now we go to back to Lisa with her son, who is 15 and is about to start learning how to drive.
Oh god, here we go. A driving scene with your 16-year-old.
So not even 16, 15. 15,
yeah, 15. So she's like, oh my god, these kids are, it's almost like they're renters for 18 years and then they can't wait to bail on you. In business, I can handle anything. I'm a great problem solver. But in cars, I just need a Diet Coke. So they drive and drive to a 7-Eleven and she's like, okay, now go get me a Diet Coke. Easy on the eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the whole scene, is her trying to get a Diet Coke.
That really is. This show and she's kills like giving me. Him. And she's giving him advice. Well, she's praying. She's like, dear Father in heaven, don't let us hit anyone or anything or a bottle of Vita tequila. And don't let anyone hit us unless it is a bottle of Vita tequila, which we'll happily accept because it's a wonderful tequila. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Now get me a Diet Coke.
Get me a Diet Coke. Easy eyes with lemon.
So then we go
and the son, by the way, there was also an awkward moment where the son, they're talking about like backing out. And he goes, well, I have a strong pullout game.
Oh,
and she's like, all right, let's focus on the Diet Coke.
Yeah.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then we go to Table X. And Mary arrives, like, kind of jiggling in these huge heels.
And her usual, like, strange, like, fringy pink outfit. It's always some sort of, like, there's usually some sort of, like, kelpie quality about what she's wearing. It always feels like there's, like, seaweed hanging off of something.
Yeah, she does like the sea theme. Also, this whole cast is really into feather and fur and mixing them. Like, at some point, I think it's Jen who comes in later wearing, like, a feather coat over a fur dress over a feather, you know. how many animals had to die for this one scene, guys?
Yeah, well, Jen was wearing a yellow, they called her Tweety. Heather was like, hey, Tweety Bird. She's wearing like a yellow fur thing in two different scenes. The first episode, Meredith was wearing a pink Monsters, Inc. jacket. And then last episode, Lisa was wearing the same one. Maybe it was Meredith's. I don't know. But there's like a lot of like big, furry, like Yeti, like colorful, like gay Yeti jackets that are happening in this cast.
Yeah. So they're having dinner. So Mary and Meredith. So they order cod. Mary's like, Neil, she's like, I want the cod. And Meredith's like, you want to share? You want to get your own thing? No? All right, I guess I'll get my own cod. And then Mary just orders the same thing. But I like when someone's like, no, I will not share your fucking food. I'm getting my own food. I fucked my step-grandfather for this money. I'm getting my own.
This is such a Meredith thing to happen because, you know, she went home and she was like, well, guess what? I tried to share a card with Mary, but guess what? I had to get my own card. There we were, two women eating our own cards at a restaurant.
And Brooks was probably like, she's going down, mother. I don't approve.
Are you there, card? It's me, Brooks. So Meredith is like, Mary is talking about, she's going through a thing with her son, Robert, because they've always been inseparable, and now he's turned 17 and met a girl, and he's like an adult and not giving mother the attention that she used to have.
Yeah, and he's still the love of my life, but I'm not the love of his. And this gets crazier as it goes, gets like creepier as it goes. And so Meredith is like, well, look, it's really normal for them to disconnect. Like yesterday, Brooks said, Mom, you're a fucking moron. And then he went to Best Buy, you know? So I totally get it. And Mary's like, how did you do three kids? And she's like, you know, look.
Sharon Stone first. She laughs like, thank you for this award. I'm like, she just asked you how you did three kids. She's like, oh, thank you. Thank you very much. This award is dedicated to all the cats that had to die for this dinner, too, to be specific, because I couldn't share mine. What were you asking?
You're like, well, I've never been able to, like, connect with those people who just say, oh, my life is so perfect. Like, it didn't happen like that, all right? And Mary's like, oh, yeah, that's happiness. I mean, come on. You've been married 20 years. I know your happiness isn't real. Come on. And they start laughing like, ha ha ha, yeah. Marriage, right?
Like, we're unhappy. Yeah. It's like, I mean, you can't be happy, Meredith. Look at the obvious sadness in your face. It's clear.
And Meredith is like, and then you throw a child into the mix and you're focused on them and it's easy not to have the communication with your husband. And Mary's like, yeah, I mean, you just get in that space where you grow apart. Like, Robert Sr. is in love with his son and I'm like the helicopter mom. And so, you know, eventually we just kind of became partners instead of like truly married.
And she's like, oh, like a friendship? No, like a partnership. I wouldn't even put friend in there. But she's like, but you know, I have to make the marriage work because it was arranged. So I have to make it work. I'm like, you literally do not have to make it work. It was an arranged marriage. You can leave Robert Sr. It's okay.
Yeah. You don't like the flowers? Get new flowers. Okay. Who cares if somebody arranged
Drink
them?
More water.
Were you supposed to go to a restaurant? You can change your reservation. Okay. Change it. So she's, Meredith is like, not an option, huh? Okay. So then Mary tells us her story. She's like,
yeah, here's her monologue.
She says, I always say that I have beauty in all my mess, but the reality is I'm married to my grandmother's second husband, which is my step-grandfather. Now, she made it very clear that she wanted me to be the one to take her place in the church, and so I inherited everything, homes, businesses, the church, and him.
Yeah.
And she goes, now, it was weird, okay, but I did it because I trusted my grandfather, and I'm just so glad I did it.
She trusted her grandmother, and she's like, I'm so glad I did it. And she goes, I believe if something knocks you down, you just get back up again. It's a cider drink, a soda drink, a whiskey drink, whatever it is, I get back up.
That's not what they were talking about. Like, that song was not about step-grandfather fucking, okay? It just wasn't.
It really isn't.
It's not. You can't just rework it to be about anything.
So now it goes even crazier because at this point, it's already crazy everything that she's gone through. I haven't even thought about her mom. I actually assumed that her mom was out of the picture, like maybe had died or something. But then she said that she disconnected from her mom at 19 and she said that she got married to Robert Sr. at 22 and it like split the church up and her mom had a fit. And her mom had a fit, and I'm thinking, oh, she had a fit because this is totally crazy that her daughter is marrying her stepfather, right? And she goes, no, my mom had a fit because, you know, she wanted the church and she wanted, you know, to marry Robert Sr.
Oh, my God. She felt like she deserved it all and him. And the producer asked, like, did you have sex the first night after your wedding? And she's like, oh, God, no. I was on my period. And, of course, that period, I made it last 2 weeks. And then it started getting awkward. Like, you're still on your period? And then I started to pray and seek higher help. And then it really worked out. It worked out so much good. It couldn't have been better. It's like, what? Yeah. Come on. Because this whole time, I thought they were saying, like, yeah, okay, it's weird. It's a step-grandfather. But it was just a business arrangement kind of thing to keep the church. And then to just think this old dude's like waiting for this 20-year-old like to stop having her period. I can't. I'm sorry.
And that the mom is like jealous that she doesn't get to fuck her stepfather.
Oh my God. So she's like, yeah, well, I had to make up my mind to just detox the people who are not beneficial to my life. Well, okay, so people who aren't beneficial, you're going to just force them into AA? Who does that? That's not yeah. nice.
And Meredith is like, well, you know what? There are good people out there, and that's what you have to seek out. And, of course, she's like, I mean, I didn't marry one of them. But, you know, theoretically, I could have sought one out.
I didn't marry one of them, have them, or anything else, but I've seen them on TV. Oh, look at this lady who brought my God. You're a good person. Glad I seeked you out. Thank you.
So Mary just starts talking about her church, and Meredith is interested in it. And she basically, Mary says that Whitney and her dad are going to be coming to the church this weekend or something. So Meredith is like, I want to come see it. It's just another, I'll just tell the kids I'm going to Best Buy. That seems to be the excuse these days.
So then we're back at Meredith and Brooks at her house. And she's like, I'm going to make some guacamole because we have like a gazillion avocados. And he's like, I'm going to make my almond milk because I've had my almonds marinating.
Yeah, my almonds marinating in water for like 5 days. He's like mad at the marination process. I'm like, just get some silk. Almond breeze. So now he tells us, he's like, when Chloe, Reed, and I found out about our parents' separation, I took the semester off from school to support my mom and whatever she's dealing with my dad, and to work on my clothing line.
Okay. And to be on The Real Housewives. You're real fucking supportive over there, kid. He's like, yeah. As much as she has friends coming in and out or visitors staying, no one can keep her grounded as I can. Watch this. Mom, give me your finger. Ow, Brooks. That was an electric socket. Stupid.
So he's like, well, Mother, I'm sure you can tell that Chloe and I were very uncomfortable the night Jen was here. I'm like, could she? I don't know. Like, what made you uncomfortable, right? So she's like, yeah, that was kind of a surprise for me. I'm sorry if you guys were uncomfortable.
And then he, like, just starts slamming on the blender, the Vitamix, which is a very Vitamix-heavy episode, okay?
It is. This is the second Vitamix scene. And he has the cover on it, and he's like, see, Mother, this is how you blend things, moron.
He's like, well, we were all uncomfortable, Mother. Like, the way, like, that's crazy how that happened. Like, she can act how she wants, just not in your house. That was uncalled for. And Meredith is like looking down, cutting avocados, not making eye contact, which this whole thing made me feel weird. And he's like, I don't want Chloe to have to experience that either. Chloe and I had to see parts of that woman that we never need to see again. And she's like, okay. Well, I understand, but she wants to have a sleepover. Well, that's not happening.
It's like, you don't get to tell your mom what she's doing. You also like yes, it's like it is weird to see the private parts of someone that you know that's like an elder to you. I agree, that is a weird thing. But also like he's ridiculous right now.
Ridiculous. He's acting all puritanical. Like, now he's so offended that someone would act like that around his innocent.
But she wasn't. But the thing is that she wasn't being that. She wasn't like giving him a lap dance and like pushing his face.
No, he didn't see her vagina. He's full of crap.
She made an effort to try to be like actually modest about it.
Yeah, he's being a little prick because he wants to be like a housewife. Okay, go get your own show, Brooks. This is not it. Now, I know people aren't going to like that because online people are like, oh, my God, he's iconic.
Well, he is, like, very funny, but, like, this is a weird one because it's straddling between, like, shaming a woman's genitalia versus also, like trying to, like, the fact that she was being very extra. And so, like, where do you, like, how do you grapple those two things? Like, you shouldn't shame her, just, like her... Like someone online was comparing it to PK leering at Erica Jane's, you know, like upper pants and being like, oh, she wasn't wearing underwear. And it's like that thing of like, you know what? Like don't shame the woman because she wasn't wearing underwear or whatever. And she is being very extra. And I definitely think like that extraness could have been super annoying and be like, oh, she's so annoying. But like, but there is like a little bit of slut shaming going on that people are not appreciating.
So Brooks is like, well, it's Chloe's last night. And let's be honest, you're the CEO of Meredith Marks. You'll never have time for a sleepover in your life anyway. And she just keeps looking down like, okay, honey. I'm like, oh my God, do you take this shit from every man in your life? Get rid of these losers. Divorce your son and your husband. And Chloe, yeah, too, if she starts this shit. So then we go to.
I mean, I think if it's Chloe's last night and she's like going back off to school, I think like lead with that. Lead with like, actually, mom, could we have family night because it's Chloe's last night? I want to have family night, and our family is currently falling apart. That's okay. I support that, but like, not like, ew, you're gonna be you're like CEO of Meredith Marks, even though no one knows what that is, and you're never gonna have a sleepover again. I'm like, okay,
yeah,
enough.
So then we go over to Mary and her husband, Grandpa, her husband, Pa, and she's like, I told you how to start the stove. Why can't you start it? Men don't like instructions, okay? You don't need to hire somebody to fix a stove. I taught you how to fix it. And so he kind of walks off, and she just turns on every single burner. She's like, see?
Yeah. Yeah. And they're talking about Robert Jr., who is like, he's at school but he's not learning anything because he's apparently only going to the school because the girlfriend goes there. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how like a child gets to choose the school like that. But they're saying that he's really spoiled, that Robert Sr. is spoiled too. And he's like, well, who's spoiling me if I'm spoiled?
Yeah. And this whole thing, so now her son, she's jealous that the son has a girlfriend, so she's gonna make him go to boarding school. I mean, really?
Well, she's jealous, but she also thinks he's not learning anything or something, or I don't know.
Well, he's nothing not really learning anything because he has a girlfriend. This whole thing, yeah, is so fucking weird. So she's like, well, he needs boarding school so he can choose a college because his brain is distracted with this infatuation or love or whatever it is. I'm like, so you're not going to let the kid have his first love? What the hell?
Says a woman who's like married to her step-grandfather. And then she even says, she's like, you know, for me, when I got married to Robert Sr., I had to get to know him. And then once I did, I really felt like, wow, my grandmother really nailed it.
Literally. Guy, she literally nailed it.
This is what I'd pick. Yeah, she literally nailed
it. She had already nailed it.
But then after Robert Jr. was born, she drifted into being a mom and he drifted into being Robert Sr. I'm like, that sounds like it was probably then never a relationship that worked because it never seemed like it got off. You had to spend time getting to find his good sides, and then you had a baby and then drifted apart. I'm like, it sounds like you guys just never quite. She's trying to make it sound like he's wonderful. And I'm like, it sounds like it's not great.
Yeah. So they call the son in and she's like, listen, after school, you can do whatever you want. Okay. But are you even learning at this school? Because I think you're learning bad habits, like falling in love.
Yeah.
Like, who does that as a teenager? I mean, do you want to go to boarding school? Come on. I can find a co-ed one. And he's in just LA. Like,
He's like, okay, so here's a way to not teach your kid bad habits. Don't send them to boarding school in Los Angeles. That is the worst idea of all.
Yeah. And so he's like, I don't think that's necessary. And then the grandpa hits the blender. What is with the fucking, yes, blenders on this show?
Another
people
blending.
Have trouble digesting solids in Utah?
It's passive-aggressive blending. It's like happening from all angles. So, yeah, he wants to go to a regular school. I mean, he's like, huh? Yeah. Huh? What?
Yeah. And he's like, well, I don't want to go to boarding school because I can't be without my girlfriend. And she's like, oh, gee, this is exactly what I'm talking about. And he's like, or you. She's like, oh, right. You're going to a boarding school. Bye. So then Whitney and her dad are going to Mary's church.
Yeah. It's been 10 years since both of them have gone to church. And apparently Whitney's dad has only in the past year recognized that he needed help. So he's in the process of considering going to sober living and everything. And so she just wants him to feel love in the church. And so she goes up there. She's with she meets up with Meredith and Meredith's friend Jeff in the front pew. Mary comes in and she just talks about how she felt like she was in training before her grandma left. And then she took over the church because it felt like the right thing to do, you know?
Oh, this is the way she tells this story. She's like, okay, so my grandmother said, everything that I didn't have, I want you to have. And when she passed, no one really knew what to do. And I was just sitting there in church one day, and I thought, I'm doing this. I felt something pulling me. So I got up and I did it. And it came across like very all about Eve. Like her mom is planning on taking over this church. Grandmother just passes and Mary sees her chance and just gets up there and goes for it. And I was like, wow, you really went for that brass ring, Mary. You got to hand it to you. I'm not really sure that I would understand that brass ring, but you sure grabbed it, girl.
I'm not sure I believe anything Mary says, by the way. Like, everything, I'm like, huh? I mean, after she said that she was in the hospital for a month getting odor glands removed, I'm like, I'm not totally sure what she says really is the truth, but this is what we have so far. So, yeah, Mary is basically, it's a whole, like, scene of, like, rapturous joy and religion, etc.
She does a lot of things, and she jumps up and yells a lot while she's preaching, and it makes what she's saying sound kind of normal. She's like, let God be God! People are like, yes! It's like, let God be God! I was like, has
Put
God, like...
Put Twizzlers in your coffee cup! It's like, yes, I will do that. Wait, why am I doing that?
It's like, is there like a movement for God to get a different haircut? Like, what's been happening with God that God feels insecure right now?
So she's preaching, and she's saying like to Whitney's dad, like, he knows your problem. And I said, if he leads you to it, he'll lead you through it. He's that kind of God. He's that kind of God. And it was actually kind of like really nice, because Whitney's dad was obviously very touched. He's like crying, and you know, he's been through some hard shit and everything. And Whitney was saying that this is like the first time she's seen her dad feel love and acceptance in like many, many years. So, you know, it was actually like surprisingly heartwarming.
Really?
For me.
I was lolling. I was on roller skates going around the rink. I was like, what is this? It's so crazy. It's so crazy. She's so crazy.
She is crazy, but I don't know. I felt bad for the guy in his bad wig, and like he was like just crying, and I don't know. I felt like let God be God, Ronnie. Okay. let God be God
for crying out loud, okay? Lead him to it, he'll lead you through it. That's what God does. Just hang in there. That's God right there. That little kitty you see just hanging there, that is God. So, yeah, it is nice because the dad's like crying and stuff, but then I was also uncomfortable. I was like, ooh. So Whitney's like, this has changed everything. It's totally worth it for my dad. And I was like, poor guy. Okay, so then Jen has a makeup team, and she's got the full squad. Like, she's doubled the glam squad. From other Housewives shows. She's got like 10 people there.
Yeah, and she's like, it's the Shaw Squad, and she's telling them, there's like six hands on her face. It's like that movie Brazil. And she's like, every time I'm talking about the dress, I have makeup on, and I want to cry, but I can't cry. And then the gay goes, you should hire like a professional crier.
So when you have to cry, they can cry for you.
Yeah.
And she tells us, this is the Shaw Squad. This is not amateur hour. Okay. We're testing out my outfit for tomorrow. So they're doing like a dress rehearsal for the next day.
Yeah. And then like one of the assistants, like the second assistant comes by with like a tray with berries and lime and a shot for her. And it's just like all very sad. Like, it's clearly a woman who has to buy her friends. And because she's like, my team is not just employees. It's lonely when Sharif is gone a lot. And that's why I guess I lean on them, you know? I'm like,
yeah, I rely on them to fill that role as my family. Like, she's no Erica Jane, where Erica's like, oh, yeah, I'm best friends with the team. She's like, I literally pay people to be my family. Hey,
yeah.
It works.
So she's like, well, guys, guess what, Shaw Squad? Meredith and I plan to have a sleepover after the party. And then Crystal, the second assistant, goes, yeah, I feel like you mentioned that. And she goes, well, guess what? Meredith canceled. She said, hey, Jen, I need to cancel the sleepover because Chloe wants to spend more time with me after the party. I can't believe that Meredith canceled the sleepover because Chloe's here, her child, her daughter doesn't even live here. It's her last night. She's going to leave because of that. That's stupid.
I just want real people who are going to reciprocate.
Like, it's her daughter. She's allowed to cancel plans for her daughter.
What is reciprocate? I mean, what are you talking about? You invited her to a thing, she can't come. Like, you want her to throw a sleepover for you? Come on, be quiet, Jen.
I also love that she's talking about, like, how she wants people who would reciprocate the love, loyalty, and respect I would give them, as she's surrounded by people she literally is paying for, like, affection. like, are we supposed to believe that, like, the moment one of them is, like, in pain, that she is going to be... She could be doing their makeup? That's my question.
Yeah.
So I guess the money is the reciprocation.
So then Meredith is... No, Heather. Is this Heather?
At Ember. We're at Ember for Heather's baby shower thing.
It's the baby shower. I wrote down Meredith, but it's Heather. So she's... Her guy has gotten together her baby picture wall or whatever. And she's like, did you figure out which baby was me?
He's like, was it the one with the covered wagon behind it? Damn it. So then the five employees come in. These are the five pregnant girls. They're like, if you said, hey, what do you think the names would be for five women who work at a beauty spa in Utah? These would then be them. Whitney, Bryn, Sam, Roxy, and Jill.
Oh, Roxy's trouble. I can tell you that right now.
Roxy is a little bit of that was a surprise that there was a Roxy. I'm not going to lie. I thought that might have been like an Amy.
She's like, they are going to pop out perfect Gerber babies and be perfect little Instagram ladies. That's what they think. But guess what? That's not what's going to happen. And at this party, everybody being in all white and then five pregnant ladies all in white following each other into the room. It really is like big love territory, you know? Yeah.
Really I've been watching a lot of content about cults, and this felt very culty. I just felt like I haven't seen Midsommar. But it felt like this was a scene from it. Just like,
yeah, Midsommar. That was a good one.
Yeah, maybe I'll watch it someday. I don't like scary movies, but it seems so ridiculous that I might make an exception for it.
Yeah, it is pretty ridiculous and wonderful. I love that kind of a movie. So all the ladies are posing with their tiny little cars. And congrats to the queens. And Heather's like, we're trying not to cry. I mean, we're horrified that you're pregnant so young, but at least you're not divorced for another couple of years. Watch out for that one, girl.
We got you a bunch of motorized covered wagons, or as we call them, Range Rovers. Enjoy. So then Heather, they do this, you know, they have to shoot their scene. So Heather and the other housewives, like, leave to do a scene. And they leave the rest of the group. Like, everyone who's there for the actual baby shower are there doing these activities. But because it's being shot on Bravo, they clearly can't be playing any music. So they just have this you just keep on seeing this kind of, like, soulless playtime with these adults. Where they're, like, I don't know what they're doing. They're, like, tossing balls or whatever. But it's, like, silent in this place. It just felt depressing.
Yeah.
So, a lot of balloons and ping pong balls.
The girls go over to talk, and Jen's like, I'm so excited for the Roaring Twenties party. And Whitney's like, yeah, I'm excited. We all haven't been together in a while. It has been a while since we have all seen each other. And Jen's like, yeah, since the ski day. Let's have a cheers.
Yeah, Heather's like, cheers to skiing. I'm like, people, it was last week. Like, there have got to be better things to cheers towards. So Whitney is like, she's saying how she's going into this party with like a clean slate with Lisa, and she really means it. And it's like, but is Lisa invited to the party? And she's like, yes, I invited Lisa to the party. We're going to have a wonderful time. And
clean slate.
Clean slate. Sharif will be coming too. And so Jen is like, I have a question. Is Mary Cosby coming to the party? Oh, Lord, have mercy. She is. Oh, Lord.
And Whitney's like, I like Mary. Heather's like, do you have a clean slate with Mary? Come on, Jen. She's like, clean slate, dirty slate, I don't care, bitch. You're irrelevant.
She's like, clearly trying to earn her spot on the cast.
Yeah.
Like, this was like during the time when they had like 16 women who were like getting sizzle reels, and they're like, who should we pick? So she's like, dirty slate, I don't care. She's a bitch. I hate her.
Yeah, she's decided that she's going to still be mad now. About hospital smell.
Yeah, she's back.
And she's not only going to be mad, she's going to be furious. So Heather's like, oh my God, how are we back here again? Mary apologized. How is this still kicking? And Jen's like, you know what? I will be your friend, ride or die. You can call me, but do not attack my family. She admitted it. She confessed.
Like, She said, it smells like hospital smell. She had a trigger with her odor glands, Jen. Why aren't you listening to her very real story?
Oh,
so Whitney's like, do you know why I left the church? Because I took my father, who's in drug rehab, to Mary's church with Meredith, and the community of people there were so supportive. For the first time, her dad felt love.
And Jen's like, wait, are you telling me that Meredith went to Mary's church?
That was her takeaway. I love that that was her takeaway. When she's talking about her dad, who was struggling with painkillers, and like for the first time in 10 years has felt love, and it was an emotional experience, and they cried, and he felt Jesus, and he's on the road to recover. But Meredith was there?
Yeah. And Heather's like, well, I want to be respective. Whatever that means. And Jen's
she
like,
wants to be next in line on a list.
Jen's like, no, Meredith wants to play like Switzerland. And she's like, well, everyone needs a Switzerland friend. I mean, it's my favorite country. And Jen goes, then you're not a real friend.
How about you're not a real friend for forcing someone out of Switzerland, which is a lovely place with chocolate and clocks. And it's like, I hate that because there are people who act so extra. And then, like, then you're forced to, like, take a side. If you don't take a side, if you're just like, I don't want to be part of this. I like you both. You guys be more mature. You're the one who gets attacked. You're the one who winds up actually, like, the other two people will wind up, like, making up. And then you as Switzerland, who is actually trying to stay out of it or trying to, like, facilitate mature conversation, you're the one who gets burned when it was their own dumb behavior that gets dragged you into something. So I support Switzerland.
Yeah. And their watches. So Jen's like, well, I get why Whitney went to Mary's church. Her dad's going through a lot. But for Meredith to go, she knows what's gone on between Mary and I. I mean, this is a personal dig with me, and I am furious.
Yeah. She goes, hey, listen, hey, Meredith, you cannot go be friends with her and then be friends with me. I'm not saying choose. I'm just saying tell me. I'm like, no, you're saying choose.
Yeah, tell me what you've chosen. Okay.
Tell me how you'd like to choose to move forward.
And Whitney's like, in my mind, there are no sides to choose. And Jen's like, well, really, if you like Mary and you really like me, then you don't think there's a conflict? Bitch, vote.
I was like, okay, you got the job already. Calm down. So now we go back to Lisa's house, and she's picking out her outfit for the 20s party. And she goes, well, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I'm not very much in the 20s, but I could do the 70s. And Meredith is like, it's not 70s, love. It's like, that's like saying, like, I don't know. I don't know if I like I don't know if I could do a Great Gatsby theme, but you know what I do love?
Clowns.
I love the Food Network.
I love clowns.
Clowns.
So then Justin Whitney's husband is like, wow, that dress is conservative, honey. She's like, I don't think women had boob jobs out in the 20s, okay? And he's like, what are you smoking in that cigarette holder? She's like, maybe something legal, maybe something not legal. Rebel, I'm a rebel.
Rebel. So then we are back. Jen's with her squad again, and she like comes out the doors because they're all waiting there to see her final look. And she steps out these doors, and everyone's like, yes, yes, yes. Were we contractually obligated to give 3 yasses or 4? Yes, just to be careful.
I love those, the door gays. They're just sitting right by the door, and they're just like, yes. They're applauding her. Like, yes.
But there is one who was blurred out, so he clearly had a falling out.
Yeah. He's like, I do not approve of my face being here during the yah segment. All right.
Yeah. And she goes, well, you know, if y'all didn't clap, you'd be fired anyway. Ha, just kidding. Not really.
And then she walks around talking to everybody like, hello, darling. Hello, oh, yeah, darling.
So Whitney is like, it's funny because she actually had more life in character than she did out of character. Because out of character, my name's Whitney, and I've been excommunicated from the church. But then when she was, like, in character as a flapper, she's like, hey, darling, how are you? What a great time. I'm like, where's this Whitney coming from?
Yeah, this Whitney's hired.
Also, Whitney's quarantine look. We have to discuss this. So most of the show so far, we've seen Whitney with, like, a cute little bob or whatever it would be called. And, you know, she's, like, cute, cute Whitney. And then, like, there was an interview with her that was clearly a pickup from, you know, sometime in March. And her hair is, like, enormous. And her eyebrows are so arched. I mean, she looked like She looked like divine. It was crazy. I was like, what happened to Whitney in quarantine?
Yeah, quarantine is really showing us who has learned to do stuff by themselves at home, you know?
Yeah.
Who's learned to comb their own hair? So she sees Meredith and Lisa come in. She's like, well, I mean, she really knows how to rock the bell bottoms, but it's 20s, not 70s. And they're like the guys, strippers or whatever, swinging around the poles. And yeah. Heather's like, well, who says? Oh, Heather. Heather's like too grossed out vulva. By the strippers. She's like, that is too much vulva.
Brooks is like, I know, right? And I'm not even at the party.
Mom FaceTimed me so I could be totally offended.
So then Lisa's like, there's a thing with Whitney. She's definitely in loves a strapper pole.
How was this 1920s? I was bringing the decadence and they were bringing the depression.
Oh.
So then we see like a cowboy stripper on a pole, which I don't know how that relates to the 20s. Maybe that's reflective of who was living in Utah at the time. I don't know. So then Jen and her gay arrive. She has a gay who's there solely to hold her train at this party. There's just one guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's his life, holding her train. And she's mad because she thinks that Meredith is being so shady.
Yeah, she's like, so I had a couple drinks before I came tonight. And so Mary and Meredith are talking, and they're all like old buds because they went to dinner and church. So they're like totally bonded now. And yeah. Mary's like, oh my God, I love that diamond. And Meredith's like, ah, it's 20s jewelry. And everyone's having a great time. But then Jen says, I want to give her the benefit of the doubt. But first thing I see is her in the corner with Mary fucking Crosby. Are you fucking kidding me? It's like sticking a knife in my heart.
Please have another cocktail.
Next week, Jen screams and throws drinks on people.
Can't wait for it. Well, that was a delight. A really ridiculous romp. So fun. Loving SLC so
yeah,
far.
Me too. Everybody, thank you so much. Have a great holiday weekend. We are very thankful for you, our little turkeys. Thank you for giving us such a great life and supporting us. And we will be back Monday with Real Housewives of Potomac.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. Higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
One day you're Rachel Zinn, the next day you're out.
He makes us squee, Richie D. The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors,
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Let's rev our pistons for Amanda and Kristen.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell. Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.